Welcome to the game with Glenn Quatermain and Adrian Barrich. Quatt is a veteran footy scribe with hands so small he can only carry 2 pints. And Barra, an Eagles original, Perth Demons diehard, and regular face on Channel 7.
Hello, Adrian Barrich here from 7 News.
He'll tell you about the 1991 Grand Final, except he got dropped after the prelim. We don't promise any fancy sound effects or bells and whistles. It's just two blokes talking football.
Yes, it is. And it is Quarters and Barra. And we are brought to you by Tab Touch. Got the touch. Download the Tab Touch app today. Chances are you're about to lose, although not you and me, Barra. For free and confidential support, visit gamblinghelponline.org.au. Barra, welcome to opening round.
Yeah.
And while the NRL is away, the AFL will play. Or have they? Look, while the NRL are in Vegas, have we missed an opportunity here? Because the NRL are back.
Well, it viva Las Vegas. You're right. It was massive over there. The time I tried to investigate why it's this Thursday, and the AFL said, well, they played on Sunday and you can't play on a Monday, and we probably didn't want to go head to head with them at that time. So we thought, well let's head to invade their territory, New South Wales and Queensland, while they're sort of getting their game back together. It's been launched in Las Vegas. We push in there with our 4 games. I think this is going to be a permanent thing. I don't know if you like it, but I think it's going to happen forever now. It'd be not round zero or opening round or whatever they want to call it. I know those names are pretty silly, but I think this is the way to go. If for the battle for the hearts and minds of the people of New South Wales and Queensland is on, and this is the first big salvo. Do you like it?
Just call it round one. It's a bit too confusing for punters. I think they should have played it last weekend. But, look, I don't mind it. NRL's up is in Vegas for 5 years, so they've got an opportunity for 5 years to
definitely
get it right.
Five years.
So let's get it right. But
Should it be the whole round? That's the other thing. There's no games in Victoria, which is astounding when you think about it.
Or WA.
And WA, of course. But, the home of
footy, SA.
The 10 teams. It's astounding, as they say in the rock classics. But I'm a bit surprised that it's not the entire round. But I get what they're trying to do. And it does send a message. You're special, New South Wales. So are you, Queensland. We're going to the SCG. We're going to the Gold Coast. We're going to Western Sydney. We're going to be there. Come and see us. It's going to be great.
Gee, they've done their best, though. You've got Gawn and Grundy tonight. You've got Dimmer Hardwick against Richmond on Saturday. And GWS in Sydney's Rugby League heartland, the Western Suburbs, playing against the reigning Premier. So you can see what the AFL has tried to do. Very well handpicked, I would suggest.
I'd be filthy if I was Fremantle, though, because they're going to run into the Lions, who've just played at home, okay, and just had a nice hit out against buddy Carlton.
Carlton might win. They might be banged up.
But I'm talking about, it's just perfect build-up. And then they come to Western Australia, and the Dockers have had this long break, not ideal. They've copped a couple of injuries, of course, but it's not really setting up well for Freo.
Freo come off fresh. Brisbane's off a game, but we'll get on into our tips in a minute.
Fresh is not good at the start of the season in terms of not having match practice. They've only played Puparama Derby, thumped the Eagles, and got spanked in the second one.
It looked very, very flat, I thought, in the second. For whatever reason it was, they just looked flat.
They reverted back to form, but I'm putting it down to Luke Jackson and Jai Amos not being there, not being able to straighten them up. You know, Luke Jackson, I couldn't believe Dogger.
Yeah.
So Dogger's his. Do you know why he's called Dogger?
I don't, but yeah, he's well known, Dogger.
Who's that Nathan, what's his name from Melbourne, who missed the grand final? You know, he was a former captain of Melbourne Footy Club. He missed out on the premiership here. Nathan Jones. Thank you, mate. Josh is very good. Quarters. You used to be good at that stuff.
No,
like
I'm
that.
Just thinking.
What's you've gone off.
He was
you were like snap, snap, snap. If it was Seinfeld, mate, you would have gone bang, bang, bang.
Yeah, you got me at a bad moment. Nathan Jones.
So Nathan Jones reckons he this is no bull. He knocked and named him Dogger because he reckoned he looks like a Cavalier King Charles Spaniel.
Jeez, that's a good call. Now you think about it.
I reckon he looks like Clifford the Big Red Dog. Have you ever seen Clifford?
That's a great nickname.
I like
Who was the best of them in your time? Joof?
Nicknames.
David Joof Hart.
Brett Heddy's was a good one.
Yeah.
What was Brett Heddy's nickname?
He worked a lot.
Jobby.
Yeah, he worked a lot. Yeah,
lots of jobs.
Yeah. Oh dear. Now, Barrett, let's get serious for a moment. Were you comfortable with the ultimately with the 7-match suspension for Jimmy Webster for that hit on Jai Simpkin?
Feels like they just lined it up with Gaffey, didn't they? Go right, I Gaff smashed.
But they
Brayshaw.
Didn't because they weren't using any precedent.
They, no, they weren't. But
clean
it's
slate.
Interesting how it turned out to be 7.
Yeah, like, it is. But you got
a third of the season.
But this is a fresh slate. So what they've done is they've said we're not going to use precedents, and we are going to take in. And you laughed at me last. You mocked me last week, Barra. Community standards, community expectations. So 7 weeks is now the template for that sort of incident. 4 weeks is the template for Sam Powell-Pepper. So players, take note.
Yes.
And don't whinge.
I've sent you a message.
And I'm comfortable with the 7 weeks, by the way, with where we're at.
Ding, you've got mail.
Had plenty of time, mate. Plenty of time. Yeah. Saw Simpkin, lined him up.
No one can blow up anymore.
Simpkin, of course, is out for round one and hopefully gets back for round two. But
They should give Webster a medal for, you know, okay, for the AFL. Right, thank you. But even before the season started, you've shown us what can't be done and what the penalty is. And anyone other than enough to you does it, has no, can't make any excuses.
That won't be happening.
You're going to cop 7 weeks. I think 7 is too much. Mm-hmm. I'm from the era where we used to do that all the time.
No.
And if you did that stuff, you were applauded. But you were a legend. Worsfold took out blokes like left, right and centre. You remember Modra, of course. You know, this famous ones.
In those days, they didn't have the evidence that they have. No, but the evidence they have now in terms of brain injuries.
I'm pretty sure when you was a brain injury, don't worry about that.
Yeah, in those days, you didn't have the body of evidence.
No,
now
of course,
you do.
Of
so
course.
Now that's why they're handing out these penalties. And I think it's a good thing. And I think he deserved. I reckon they got it bang on right.
I reckon was right.
Well
I reckon
done.
Six. I was hoping six might.
I'd be okay with
7 is a massive. I mean, that's gone beyond. They've given him one extra just to really, you know, send the message.
Well, don't do it.
Well,
just and in the same sort of theme, Barrett, yesterday I was pleased, I've got to say, to hear that the AFL, while sticking with their 12-day concussion protocol, have recommended any level below the AFL will now go to 21 days. Now, that, of course, means waffle players and sandful players. So the waffle and sandful aren't dictated to by the AFL. Well, they are, but it's basically that they don't have to adopt these policies because they run their own show.
No.
As you know, the Waffles are under the command of the West Australian Football Commission here. But having said that, the commission has to tick it off. They will tick it off.
Oh, I'm the president of Perth, and I absolutely will be getting behind it. And if the AFL, if we want to get our AFL funding, we'll have to be doing it too. So don't worry.
Well, they got on the front foot a few weeks ago, the commission, and recommended 21 days for anything below the West Australian Football League. So this will be the West Australian Football League women and men, 21 days. So it's 14.
Will the amateurs follow suit as well?
The amateurs already were under the community policy.
21 days.
That was already in place.
Wow.
So
how has that been accepted and implemented and how's it run, do you know?
Do you
have any boys playing amateurs?
No, but they play junior football and they will be playing amateurs. Oh, look, they don't have any choice. Obviously at the AFL level, by the way, AFL sticking with 12 days, they'll go to 21.
Oh, yeah.
Make no mistake, they'll go to 21 next year or the year after. Their argument is we're professionally run, the other competitions aren't. So we have more eyeballs, if you like, and more doctors on hand and what have you. I think what happens with amateurs and community, they're pretty well run already, Barra, and I think this now just officiates. It puts an official stamp on it. Now you have to do this. I think you'll find, and the Footy Commission's information is that most players last year at a community level who work in cusp were out for 21 days anyway.
Mm-hmm.
I think most, they're pretty good at policing it now. So as I said, the medical evidence is there, so people can't ignore it, and I think we're moving in the right direction.
Yeah. It's a huge change, isn't it? Like when I played, you would pretend that you were sweet, and any questions they asked you, you sort of muddied the waters and just want to get back out there. Are you fine to go, Barrett? Yeah, no, I'm sweet. All good. No. And now, not only are you not going back out there, you're not playing for 3 weeks. So from a perspective of I want to play footy and I want to play finals, it's going to be tough in August. Do you know what I mean? Like, I don't know what's going to happen when people coming up to finals because you'd be – Oh. Well, doctor's going to have to say, listen, mate, he's out.
There's going to
and
come
I'm sorry, and it's going to be 21 days. He misses the finals.
Yep.
Jordan Dugowie is unavailable, you know?
Well, same rule
Lockie
for everyone.
Lockie Neal has been – and would and,
same rule for everyone.
And so does that encourage players to be more vigorous as well? Do you know what I mean?
Well, it might encourage players to tell a few porky pies, but now –
But what about on the other side? Would that encourage – putting my player's hat on, that would encourage me going into a final series and their prime...
To play concussed?
No. Their playmaker is there to be hit. I'm not saying I would do it. I'm just saying that I would. It would cross my mind, you know what? If I take out Lockie here, he could miss the entire finals.
Well, therefore, the new argument comes about with red cards. Do we talk about red cards?
Yeah, I reckon around finals time you almost need it. Because seriously, I'm putting my player's hat on. That's what I'm thinking. If they're here to be hit and you know he goes down and he's out for the finals, you take out their best player.
What about, and so how do you define best player? Here's one totally out of left field that just popped into my head. What if I take out your best forward who's kicked 60 and is leading the comp? What if I take out your best forward? My team loses their best forward for the game if he's ruled to be concussed. Just a left fielder.
I like it. No, I'm not the best guy. He's the best guy.
The point
Imagine
is...
Imagine Amos pointing at buddy Tracy or someone going, or Jackson. No, it's Jackson, not me.
Well, interestingly, the young Lord who plays for Port Adelaide is the grandson of Stuart and Alistair. Stuart Lord, I think it is. So the Geelong greats of the 60s. Stuart and Alistair were twins. And I was reminded yesterday, I think it was the 62 Brownlow. Alistair won it. So the story goes, was reported for striking late in the season, and back in those days, no TV, covered in mud, the old woolen jumpers, hard to see the number.
Twins.
Stuart ran up and said, no, wrong, you got the wrong bloke. I was the one. Anyway, the umpire said, okay, we'll report you, and Alistair went on to win the Brownlow medal.
Is that right? I guess at West Coast, what would you do? So if you had to discuss it, it'd be like Simo go, right, Oscar and Jack Darling, who goes out.
Those days
JD, sorry, mate.
Days are gone.
I'm talking about what your suggestion, right? So someone's been taken out in the opposition, so we have to take out the best Eagles forward. You'd probably keep Oscar, wouldn't you, and say, JD, you've got to be sacrificed, mate.
Mate, you put Oscar in any team, you probably JD, keep him.
Imagine JD, he'd blow up deluxe too. I'm not going off. No way. I'm not the best. Oscar's the best. Imagine the discussion.
Oscar is just...
How would you rank him? And what about contact at training?
Well, they will reduce that. I reckon they'll go to one day a week of contact training. They've done it in other comp. I think the NFL's big on that. So, they'll bring that down to one day a week. And, it goes back to the old days when coaches used to say, we don't encourage tackling at training or boxing at training because we want our best players playing at the weekend. So they're pretty hardened bodies.
Is it turning the game into basketball a bit?
No, I don't think so. No.
No, less contact?
Look.
Because if you're not ready for it,
the other side of it, I don't mind Lee Matthews' argument either of reducing the bench or having no bench.
That's the way to go.
Slow the game
down.
That
is the way to go.
But they want to make it faster. But if you slow it down, there's more fatigue and there's less high impact.
Well, I was with Mal Brown yesterday.
Yeah, we're on the subject of old footy stories. What was that about?
Yeah, but I was going to say about the interchange. He changed the interchange. Because in those days, there was 18 blokes playing and then there was the 19th and 20th man.
Yep.
And if someone came off,
that was it.
They weren't allowed to go back on. And Brownie sent one of his players back on, unbeknownst to the opposition, even though he'd already come off. And he got, he got suspended for 6 months, maybe 12 months. He wasn't allowed to coach for 12 months. But that was the advent of interchange because everyone went, you know what? That is a lot of better system. That's a better way to do it. Let blokes come off and on.
Pioneer Brownie in many ways, wasn't he?
Oh, he had some classic stories. Before we get on to Brownie, I just wanted to mention Alistair Clarkson.
Yep.
I heard, was it Rodney Eade? Yeah, Rodney Eade. I heard Rodney Eade on ESPN or something saying that Clarkson, mate, he must have forgotten that he coached and what he was like, Rodney Eade. He goes, Clarkson should be fined $50,000. $50,000.
You know what? I agree.
For shooting his mouth off.
I agree.
What?
I agree.
Are you kidding me? No. Why?
Well, I don't think he should be suspended from a game, but, mate, he is...
$50,000 for saying you're a sock...
He's got priors.
Plucker.
He's got priors. I don't like coaches having a go at opposition huddles. There's two. And three, you are a role model, whether you like it or not. People are watching that, and it's just not on.
But you
and
didn't see it, mate. Wasn't on TV.
Again, disincentives, Barrett. You got to. Yes, you did see it. It was
no,
on.
Was it?
There were replays of it.
There you was
could,
no replays,
you could see
mate.
The little dicky knee blue
yeah,
cap
but
there.
You couldn't tell.
And you could see Jimmy Webster looking straight. Yes, you could.
That's when
tell.
Johnny Ralph Nufty sort of
Come
zeroed
on.
In on it, but
Come
you
on.
Couldn't see it, mate.
Barrett, we know what happened.
It didn't. It,
every cent.
As far
of 50
as we
grand.
Knew, it didn't happen.
Okay.
It wasn't. Didn't come out for 2 days
so
later.
So should they? What should the penalty be?
Not $50,000.
Why not? He can afford it.
I believe Daniel Laidley has signed with the West.
Yes.
Yes.
Exciting.
And I would like to hear, you know what? Get Danielle to write about it. Because she coached North Melbourne, knows the pressure that is applied in that situation, how you have to support your players. But she's also probably going to take on the homophobic slur thing. I'll be very interested to see what she says.
Yeah. Okay.
Whether well, 50 grand.
Mentioned it to
she's,
the sports
she's
editor.
She's at the West, isn't she? Yeah.
Absolutely.
I saw the back page today. And Malthouse, if you like. What would Malthouse's position be? He'd be sticking up for the coach, wouldn't he? But I think 50 grand's over
oh,
the
I
top.
I think you'd be surprised with Mick. I don't. Well, he wasn't renowned. He had a bit of a crack in his day. Sheedy had a bit of a crack in his day. Remember Sheedy with Mitch White as the old Seagulls?
Yep.
I was saying there's Seagulls
yeah,
on
yeah.
the ground.
And he got it wrong. He did the slashing the throat thing, and Mitch White hadn't done anything.
Yeah, that's
and Mal
right.
Brown was the
that's
best ever. He took on the East Fremantle huddle at one stage.
Yep.
He went through it, and I think he grabbed a few of the East Fremantle players. And he went out there in that reserves game, grabbed Peter Manane by the throat and was going to kill
poor
Neil
old Peter
Fong,
Manane.
Playing for West Perth,
yeah.
and pulled the resis off. Pulled the resis off. Remember, and then the journo came from Channel 7. They'd heard there was something going kerfuffle on. They sent down a 7 journo.
Yeah.
And he went out there with the camera and the microphone.
And he Brandy, snapped the mic.
Brandy grabbed the mic, ripped it,
Jeez, he was
and
still
threw
angry.
It in the bin.
He was still angry. Remember back in about the late 80s, remember Dermot Brett running through the Essendon huddle
yeah.
at three-quarter time?
Yeah.
Imagine doing that now.
Oh, mate. You wouldn't be allowed to get belted, though.
Well,
you're not allowed to touch blokes
he
anymore.
Reckons he got halfway through the huddle and he's looking around. And he saw, you know, Terry Danaher and Roger Merritt and a few of these blokes, and he thought, geez,
Billy.
Maybe I shouldn't have done this. And he gets back to the Hawthorn huddle, and Alan Joyce looks at him and just says, shakes his head and just says, cowboy stuff.
Billy would have come for him. Hey, just to finish the Mal Brown
yes.
thing, he did this function.
There would have been a few tales there, no
oh,
doubt.
Oh, mate, he did a function at the Windsor. It was brilliant. And just to confirm two stories. One, the 1979 Waffle Grand Final. It is a true story. Brownie did send out Dale Reeves to go and sort out Brian Peake.
Yep.
Brian Peake's number?
7.
Number 7. The great Brian Peake. So it's a derby grand final. Mm-hmm. You know, the excitement's high. Everyone's
pumped
up.
So this is 79.
79.
Yeah.
The famous
record crowd at Subi, I think,
yeah,
that day.
Yeah, massive blue early on. Michael and Michael and all the boys. So Dale Reeves gets sent out to whack number 7, Brian Peake. Sees the 7 flash up, goes bang. Turns out to be number 17, Wayne Cormack.
I shouldn't laugh. It's not funny.
Wayne
but...
Cormack goes off on a stretcher.
What was
Mal's... Peaky goes on to be almost B.O.J.
What was...
Mal not too happy with whacking 7. Dale, I said 7, you idiot. He's knocked out some... Well, I'm friends with Wayne Cormack. He's sick of people are going, mate, you're the bloke that got whacked out, whacked, knocked out. And the other one, the other famous story, and it's actually true. I thought it was bull twang that Brad Hardy had made it up. But Brownie got rubbed out for 6 months or so. Was it 6 months he wasn't allowed to coach or something? 6 weeks. He wasn't allowed to coach for 6 weeks because he took on officialdom like he did. And they said, you're not allowed to go out onto the oval and coach your team. He's coaching South Fremantle. So he got a cherry picker at South Fremantle Oval. Got in the cherry picker. Over the fence. And had the little basket pitched over the fence just off the grass and coached out of the cherry picker.
I remember that. And I remember it because I grew up in Melbourne and that made the back page of the Sun News Pictorial after that. So for a WA game to make the back page of the Melbourne paper in the days was big. And Mal was on the back page.
What a photo. What a colourful, controversial, great character. Coached me at Perth as well. Anyway, and it was a big tribute to Steve Marsh yesterday as well, of course, the great South Fremantle man that we paid tribute to last show.
Yes, I had the... It was one of the great... honours is always to write about these greats. I was able to do
so during the week. Well done. And, everyone loved that too.
And just the nice, I'll call it the bookends of his football life. The first one, the great story, Steve Marsh wanders into Fremantle Oval. And at the, during the time in the 50s, both teams, South and East, trained at Fremantle Oval, opposite ends. So he gets there from the Goldfields. He's going to East Fremantle. East Fremantle change rooms were locked. So he goes to the next change room, walks in, it's South Fremantle. It's open. So he walks in not only to South Fremantle's team, but into their history because became absolutely one of their greats. And the nice bookend
to
it.
And he was supposed to be playing for East Fremantle, right?
He was. So, and then by the time East Fremantle saw him training in South, they went, hey, mate.
Offside.
No, you're over here with the blue and white team. And he said, nah, mate, I like these blokes. I'm playing with them. Went on to, obviously, a great six premierships, numerous best and fairest, captained his state. And but at the end, I think 1956, at the end of the year, and in the, these days, you know, perfidious is the word. It's great treachery.
Perfidious.
Going to the arch enemy for good coin.
Perfidious.
I think it was 300 pounds at the time. Went over to, yeah, perfidious. Look it up.
What does it mean?
Oh, it means great treachery, an act of great treachery.
I love it. I'm writing that
down. And he's gone over to East Fremantle as captain coach for the 57 season.
Traitor.
Won a flag.
Yeah, I know.
And so when he was 89, so this is 10 years ago, he asked for to be traded back to South Fremantle and got his wish.
When he was 89.
When he was 89, he was traded back to South Fremantle. So he could. He didn't want to die. As many mates as he's had at East Fremantle, he loved his short time there. I think he played 29 games, maybe, 26 games. But he said, I wanted to die a South Fremantle player. And he got his wish,
is
which is a great story.
Mate, that's amazing. He could overthink things by the sound of it, or maybe like doing
stunts.
Spoke
to John Todd during the week about Steve Marsh. He said he was the best player he played with. He did put a caveat on that, just saying, look, I know there are other greats in the comp, but I saw this bloke every week playing alongside him. And the others I saw whenever we played them. But he said he just had a beautiful stab pass. No right footer, pure
stab
right
pass.
Footer, no left foot.
Just it's for our listeners' benefit. What's a stab pass?
I'm too young to have done one, but it's like a drop kick. It was a very short sort of drop
punchy drop kick,
which they used to use. Of course, they used to have place kicks back in the day too. But
and you know the Victorians got rid of it because their surfaces
muddy.
Weren't good enough.
Yeah, fair enough.
Do drop punts.
Don't worry, I played on plenty of them, mate. But the other thing he said, he won the one Sandover medal. Now I'm just going to pull this out. I reckon it was 52. I might be wrong, but he said if he'd shut his mouth because he liked to back chat the umpires a bit. Todd, he said if he'd shut his mouth, who knows how many Sandovers would he have won because he was that good a player. He said he only won the one, but he said he told me at the start of 52, I'm going to shut my mouth this year and I will win the Sandover. And he said, you know what? He was right. He won the Sandover.
Well, I didn't know you knew so much about him.
Well,
I'm glad I mentioned it.
Well, because
sort of.
when you get the honour of writing about someone's life, it's not
right,
an insignificant thing and you need to do a bit of research.
No, you're right.
So.
Now, if you're wondering who the hell we're talking about, though,
Steve Marsh.
The young people who didn't see him or have no clue, 1995, when the Dockers were launched, the two great legends that they rolled out were Jack Sheedy and Steve Marsh as East Fremantle, South Fremantle, because it was the coming together of the two Fremantle clubs.
Jack Sheedy, Mr. Football, lost him 2 years ago, I reckon.
Bible Jack took a Bible to tribunal once and swore on the Bible that he didn't whack someone. Mm-hmm. And he did whack him. Those were the days. All that crap. No, it's good stuff, though.
Isn't it?
And
well, we honour the greats of footy, and he was truly a great
on
of footy.
Show.
So, valet to Steve Marsh.
Perfidious.
Pretty good knock, 99 too, Barra.
99, not out.
Pretty
out.
Sure I'm not getting there, mate. Now, we've got to give some tips for this week. I'm excited. We're only hours away. There's still time to sign up to the game for free tipping.
Yeah,
Barra,
now, can I do this?
Because you can.
I know you've had a crack at it. I reckon I can get a lot of our people involved. So if you're listening right now, and one thing I don't know is how do they actually access it? What's the way of accessing our footy tipping?
Yeah. I thought you were going ahead with it. So what you do is the link is in the podcast description. So just while you're listening to this podcast.
So the podcast, so on the app, is it? You've got to go into our app, is that right? The game app and jump on there. The game app, the game at the West Australian app and jump on there. And I give you the tip, it is really, really worth doing because I'm staggered. 160 grand worth of prizes.
Oh, you're selling it well, Barry.
50 grand cash prize for the winner. $50,000 cash prize for the top tipper.
Thanks to Tabs Hutch.
Yeah. $1,000 cash, Shorty, coming up shortly. $1,000 cash each week for the best round tipper. So you get it from Thirsty Camel, so you can win $1,000 each week. You don't have to wait around for the 50K. And there's a brand new Mazda BT50 up for grabs as well. So somebody wins a car, all up $160,000. And for our people that you listening now, our people, we're giving away two Burley footies from Jim Kidd Sports, signed by the great Ben Cousins. Signed by Benny. I've teed it up. It's good to go. He's coming back from Dancing with the Stars any day now. And you've got up until Sunday, the 17th of March at midnight. So Sunday, the 17th of March at midnight to join the competition.
That's to join the game and the quarters and barra tipping competition particularly. So go to the game, go to the tipping and have a look for quarters and barra.
Yeah, so don't go to those other blokes who do the other podcasts. Go to barra, quarters and barra, because that's where the good stuff is. And we'll announce the winners on Thursday, the 19th of March for
Tuesday,
the balls.
Tuesday, the 19th of March.
Is that for the balls? For the balls. All right, so Cuzzy's balls. Coming your way on the 19th of March.
Shorty's Tips.
And we are joined once again by the great man David Short from Tab Touch. How are you, Shorty?
Really well. Thanks, Quarters Barra. Great to be with you guys.
Excited. It's only hours now.
Indeed. Yeah, it's been quite the wait, hasn't it, over the last 6 months? But I think it's worth waiting for. Opening round, four games. Not quite as good as the full nine, but it beats none.
Who's hot this week?
The Heat of this week have been Brisbane. They've been back from $1.38 into $1.28, and also support for them at the line to win. It was 17.5, now 22.5. So all the money for Brisbane to win and win well.
Yeah, it could be in a bit of trouble, Carlton, with that some defensive deficiencies there against that Brisbane forward line.
Yeah, they've got lots of hot stuff up inside that forward 50, the lines, that's for sure and certain.
Punters have gone a bit cold on Sydney.
Yeah, just the last fortnight. So this market's probably been up a little longer than it usually would, being pre-season. Season and the like, but they were $1.65 2 weeks ago, and obviously with a few key injuries and the like, they've now drifted out. It's $1.90 each of two overnight, so punters have certainly gone the other way there, and they can still win, but the money's been against them.
And your hot tip, you've got Brisbane and the Gold Coast. I'm a bit worried there because I've tipped the Tigers. Tell us about that.
Yeah, I just think Brisbane at home, ready to fire again after that grand final loss. I don't think they'll lose many, if any, on their home deck. And Gold Coast, of course, the start of the Hardwick era. I'm pretty sure that the Suns are in for a reasonable season and he'll be wanting to start his tenure as a coach with a win. I think Queensland footy will be off to a flyer for the new season.
We mentioned a couple of injuries. Carlton on the drift.
They are. $3.05 was offered up earlier in the week. Now out to $3.70. So the punters have abandoned the Blues for round zero.
And the player to watch, interesting one here, Shorty.
Yeah, Alex Sexton. So with a change of coach at the Gold Coast, you often see this. Different coaches have got different ideas about players. And Sexton's been a low possession, small forward for them for a period of time. He's now moved to half back, and he was the leading disposal getter on the ground in their preseason match last week. So change of role, watch his numbers to jack up big time in this upcoming season if they keep that change of role at hand.
There's always one who jumps out under a new coach.
Absolutely. And I think it's good. It's a new opportunity for players, and we'll see a bit of that at the Gold Coast, but also around different clubs. New coaches come in and players get new opportunities, and most of them do relish them. Sexton certainly has to this point.
And I mentioned this last week, but have we got a price yet on someone I like? Hayden Young for the Brownlow.
Just for you, Quarters, $151.
Jeez, that's juicy for a bloke who gets under the umpire's notice a bit too.
And he doesn't back chat. He's a good citizen, and I think the move to the midfield will see him getting plenty of ball.
Great to see you, Shorty. We'll see you again next week.
Enjoy the footy, boys.
So let's give some tips, Barra. We'll start tonight.
Help him.
Can't believe I'm saying that. Tonight at the SCG, Sydney versus Melbourne, 4:30 p.m. Western Standard Time. Barra, thanks to our friends at Champion Data, here's some stats. Sydney conceded a score from 40.3% of its opponents' inside 50s, ranked second defensively. The Swans recorded a hit-out-to-advantage rate of 22.4% of centre bounces, the second-lowest percentage by any team. But Barra, as we know, Brody Grundy joins them, so that could change.
But I lost their midfield.
He averaged 14.3 disposals and 2.9 clearances last season, Brody Grundy. 30, his fewest in each measure since 2014. That will change. Errol Goulden, my favourite for the Brownlow, led the AFL for metres gained per game last season with 562 per one. That's some average. He also averaged 26.9 disposals, 3.9 clearances and 5 tackles, all careers high. Melbourne, Christian Petracca was involved in 8.4 scoring chains per game last year, ranked number one in the AFL, Barra. Alex Neil Bullen recorded a tackle efficiency of 77.3% last season during the home and away rounds, the best percentage of the top 100 for tackle attempts. And Max Gawn, the man who will take on his old teammate Brody Grundy tonight, took 44 contested marks in 20 games during the home and away rounds last season, ranked equal third in the AFL. Melbourne conceded a score from 39.8% of its opponents' inside 50s, ranked number one defensively. We know they've got a great defence. We know they've got a heavy, talented midfield. We know Sydney is without Parker Mills and their new recruit, Taylor Adams. The only question mark I have over Melbourne, who I am tipping to win this game, by the way, is their forward line. Can Van Rooyen get the job done? Will Bailey Fritz, you know, will Petracca get loose in the forward line and spend more time there? We wait and see what happens. But Melbourne for me. You, Barrett?
Did you mention that Clary is back as well?
I didn't.
First game back. What are we expecting from him? And, like, there's still question marks. People still going to me, oh, yeah, he's back. But is he okay? Or what is the story with Clary? Because as far as I can tell, Melbourne are saying, Sweetski, good to go. Are we saying good to go?
We are saying good to go. So he's had to address some mental health issues and some other health issues during the off-season. Obviously, Melbourne's had a pretty horrible off-field summer. They say they've addressed those issues. We wait and see. With Oliver, so he played in the VFL in their practice match, their most recent practice match when Melbourne looked pretty good and went okay. I think Melbourne are saying, we've got him where we want to be. We've asked him for honesty. He's given us to us. So I think they need to get him in that side. I don't reckon it would have hurt him watching them go so well without him. In that last...
Against Carlton.
Yeah, in that last game. Right. So I think it's the right call.
My next question, Gawn v. Grundy.
Fantastic
Who
battle.
Who wins that?
Geez, Gawn knows good how, against Carlton.
Yeah, and he knows how Grundy operates. He played with him. He studied him. And it's on the small ground, which Grundy is going to suit Grundy.
It is.
Gawn can't get away from him.
Well, it's going to suit the Sydney midfield, but as I said, they're missing a couple of keys there. So that's what concerns me. I think Grundy...
Mate, it's going to suit Petrarca.
It's going to be a great in.
Oliver as well, by the way.
Yep.
I mean, obviously there's no Luke Parker, but, you know, Chaddy Warner and Errol Goulden. Don't we love Errol Goulden?
We
Is
do.
He our new favourite? Errol Goulden.
Comes swinging in on the chandeliers every week.
Could he win the Brownlow?
Well, he's my tip.
He's your tip for the Brownlow, is it?
He is.
Right. What'd you get for that?
What did I get for that? I'm thinking about $12.
$12. Okay. So, all right, so you haven't said who's going to win Gawn v Grundy.
I'm going to say Gawn.
And what about Gawn? What about Taylor Adams?
Well, he hasn't played for them yet.
Yeah, he missed the flag, didn't he, at the Pies?
He did.
And then got let go, or did he leave?
Bit of both.
I love the club. I never want to leave.
I think he saw more opportunity for midfield.
And then the Pies started shit canning him.
and I'd suggest.
We love that guy on his left. No, he wasn't that good. Got a few problems with his kicking.
As a good friend of mine always says to Barrett, follow the money. It might have been a bit of coin on offer as well.
Okay.
But look, good luck to him. He's a very good player,
Taylor
Adams,
playing,
and
obviously.
He's not playing. So
they've got some big outs, as you said, Mills, Parker, Adams. So I'm with you because I reckon just with those outs, the SCG worries me.
Got a very good back line, that Melbourne back line.
Yeah, and I'm buoyed by the news that they won last year. Melbourne beat Sydney last year at the SCG. All right, so I'm going Melbourne.
So
Same as you.
And as you know, I've tipped him to win the flag.
Yeah, that's right. And you're a very good tipster.
Well, did win it last year in the game, but I'm, you know, let's not
talk about that. Did you win?
Well, yeah, maybe. On to Friday night, the Brisbane v Carlton at the Gabba. Barra, Brisbane averaged 100.2 points at the Gabba last season, winning all 13 games by an average of 34.5 points. points per game. Jeez. That is a really decent average. They're very, very, very hard to beat at the Gabatoir. 43% of Carlton's score came from clearances, the highest percentage in the league. Barra, no Wiedering in defence, no Sam Walsh in the midfield, a pretty solid Brisbane lineup. I think the one area Carlton really needs to look at is turnover. I think they're 12th ranked last year, somewhere in that line. So it is an area you've got to be top five to win the flag at. So Carlton will address that, hopefully. I can't go past Brisbane here. I think I can't see myself tipping against them at the Gabba this season. You?
And their average winning margin is 6 goals at the Gabba. In Carlton, they didn't look that great against Melbourne, but they've got those two big forwards, haven't they? And so Harrison gets one of them. Who gets the other bloke? So he probably takes Charlie, does he?
I think so.
Who takes Harry? That's going to be bloody interesting to see. Maybe one of them has to get off the leash for him to win, really, don't they, in that
you
respect?
Know my big critique of Carlton is you've got Mackay and Curno. Who's the third who comes in? They need someone to step up like a medium forward. Maybe Fantasia's in that side.
Have we seen the teams yet?
They're not out yet.
So they just
need that third forward to step up and have it be a medium range goal kicker. So I'm saying in that 20 to 25, 30 goal range. I don't think they've had a third sort of man in since about 2017. So they really need to address that.
Yeah,
this year.
Jesse Motlop.
Give me a bit of a hand up there in the forward line. I don't think Curno had a great final series, did he, either?
No, that was a bit strange. So he'd be
and
filthy.
And they went deep.
He'd be filthy about that.
So they'll look at that and say, we went deep and our key forward didn't have a great final series. So that works in their favour.
But we're still tipping Brisbane, right?
I am picking Brisbane to win this game, and you as well. On to Saturday, Gold Coast v Richmond. Interesting game, the battle for the Damien Hardwick Cup. That game is being played at Heritage Bank Stadium at 1:20 p.m. on Saturday. Last season, 42% of Gold Coast score came from clearances, the third highest percentage in the league. The Tigers took 16.4 marks per game inside 50 in wins last season, ranked second. The hype is certainly with Gold Coast. Dimmer Hardwick has them playing a more Richmond brand of football, so a bit of chaos there, Barra. We know they've got a pretty solid midfield led by Matt Rowell, Anderson, Tuke Miller. Richmond, on the other hand, will be without Dusty Martin, who just had a bit of a knock on the calf this week.
So Dusty's out.
Dusty's out. There's no Nate Curvis.
What wasn't I told?
And there's no Lynch. I'm going to say something here. And now Adam Uze, from all reports, has Richmond playing a more attacking style, a different brand of footy that we've seen under Damien Hardwick. And he's brought giraffes there and what have you. He's done some different things at that club. Mm-hmm. But I didn't like the language about we're not going to risk Martin, we're not going to risk Nankervis, we're not going to risk Lynch, given it's a five-day turnaround for our game against Carlton in round one. What's more important?
That's bizarre.
This is opening round.
So you're telling me Nank's not playing? Not playing as well?
I didn't like that. So it's almost conceding defeat here.
Jeepers.
I don't reckon it sends a good message to your players.
He's setting an ambush, probably. But it may not turn. So no Dusty, no Nank, you're telling me?
No Dusty, no Nank. Lynch, I reckon, is round two, maybe three.
Mate, is it too late?
Tom Lynch is a big in when
too
he
late to change your tips on that app?
No, it's not.
Not too late. I'm changing it. I'm tipping the Gold Coast because I wasn't impressed. I haven't been impressed with the Gold Coast in pre-season because I know they're trying to adjust to the new system. Takes a while and sometimes you lose games early. Doesn't sound like this is going to be one they're going to lose early with no Dusty and no Nank on the Gold Coast. I'll tell you what, the AFL, hats off to them, putting up Hardwick up against his old teams first up. That's quite good. Good marketing.
And another player, and he had a good year last year, but I'm saying the player to watch at Gold Coast this year is Bailey Humphrey and has been talked up by Damien Hardwick. And we heard Shorty talking about Sexton moving to halfback.
Yeah, I thought that was bloody interesting too. But I'm changing my tip now. I'm going Gold Coast.
You're changing
I'm
your
in
tip.
The paper with Richmond but I'm going to Gold Coast, all right?
All right.
Just on the record, so I'm going to win either way, aren't I, really?
You are. On to Saturday night, GWS takes on Collingwood at Giants Stadium at 4:30 p.m. The Giants, we know they're a big pressure side, applied a pressure factor of 184, ranked third in the competition last season. They won 5 matches when trailing at three-quarter time last season, the equal best rest of any team alongside the team they're playing, Collingwood. So both sides like to come from behind. They back themselves. Mm-hmm. Collingwood, we know what they bring. Beautiful foot skills. An absolute will to win. They conceded 40.7 points per game from intercept possessions, ranked number one defensively last season. So lot to like about Collingwood. I'm not picking them, though. I'm going for the home team. I reckon GWS, I'm not convinced they'll be top four this year, but I think they'll be top six and give it a hell of a shake. I think Cadman, his yep. development will give them something in that forward line. Particularly, we saw Jesse Hogan have a return to the form we know he's capable of last year. He seems settled up there in Sydney. I think Cadman being down there as a key forward will help him because just a little less focus on him. Collingwood, we know what they produce. Really, really, you know, get very nervous picking against them. But I just reckon round one, road trip, Giants for me.
Mate, it's just another great scheduling by the AFL. So seductive, so beautiful, those
seductive.
Two teams. I mean, the Premier's up against the team that probably, you know, are the next best thing. I mean, I would say Giants, Brisbane, you think Melbourne. They're the four big guns, aren't they, really? Oh, it'd be fantastic matchup. I'm backing in the Premiers. I just feel like I've had a great preseason. They haven't got massive injuries. There's not too many dramas there. They're coming on. They're just super. They're just a super, super team.
Who did you pick to win the flag?
I picked Brisbane.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I think I noticed that Shorty said that they've drifted into, not drifted, they've actually strengthened in terms of being the favourites, or is it, into $1.28. So they're almost equal favourites with Collingwood. So, mate, that's a great game. I'm sticking with Collingwood. I'm keeping the faith. I just think that's a brilliant club, that, and McFly's doing a great job.
I think GWS is on the right track now. I reckon.
Oh yeah, no doubt, no doubt. They're there. Hey, you know what's just come out is the AFL's just released the money that they pay to each club. This is unbelievable. Do you know how much the Gold Coast and GWS? They got more than twice the money of everyone else in the AFL, basically.
Yeah, AFL funded clubs. North Melbourne would be up there. St Kilda would be up there.
No, mate. The Gold Coast got $33 million
mm-hmm.
from the AFL. GWS got $32 million. Brisbane, who played in the grand final, got $27 million. St Kilda, $24 million.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
North,
$24 million.
And about 80 first round draft picks.
And guess what the Eagles got? $15 million.
Mm-hmm.
Bottom team got $15 million.
Collingwood
still made a profit, the same as the St Kilda team, who got $9 million more from the AFL. I mean, that some of the there's too many teams in Victoria, and there's way too much money being pumped into Queensland. You'd have to say that, wouldn't you?
Well, it's a frontier AFL. It's
frontier.
Rugby,
how long is it going to be?
It's a rugby league state.
GWS,
still, so.
They've been around for a long time, haven't they?
Actually,
$32 million.
I was looking at it last night. I think Gold Coast are in their 14th season, which surprised me.
And they haven't played finals.
No.
So is the money, you know, working?
Well, it's not. An overnight thing, Barry. I think they need to. The AFL said that from the start.
14 years is an overnight, my friend.
I know, but it's just going to take a
bit
of time.
West Coast, 15
mil. They reckon it is on the turn in Queensland footy. There are a lot of goalposts being put up around the place. So they do reckon Aussie rules has got a really, really strong foothold now.
With that sort of money, honestly, those two teams are getting twice as much. West Coast, 15 mil. Richmond, 16 mil. Hawthorn, 17 mil. Fremantle only got 18 mil. And you've got Gold Coast getting 33 million. GWS, who top four team, $32 million, and Brisbane in the grand final, $27 million. St Kilda, disgrace, getting $24 million. North, $24 million. Mate, it's not a fair comp.
There is
I'm sorry to say that is. I've just,
where did
just
you
dawned
work,
on me.
Where did you work that
it's
out?
It's an unfair comp.
Where did you work that
the
out?
The draw's not right. Our teams have to travel 11
Compensation
times.
Compensation picks in the draft aren't right.
North is getting got compo, and they finished ahead of West Coast. What the hell's going on, Quarters?
It's not a fair comp.
Right.
You said it.
It's not right.
You know, there's an argument to mount that, particularly in Victoria, those clubs should be just made to stand on their own two feet financially.
There's too many teams.
Fight, thrive, or, you know, wither.
Who would you get rid of? There's 10 teams.
Oh, I'm not going to get rid of anyone. I'm going to expand the comp. I'm going to bring in Northern Territory and Tasmania. I'd expand.
So have two. You'd have to have
more.
You'd have to have conferences. You can't just keep having.
Of course. I'm all for conferences. That'll happen.
Hey, we've got 30 teams this year.
Is there anything we haven't followed from the US market, mate? So conferences will happen, guaranteed.
Mate, that's a real eye-opener, that amount of money. How much more money they get up there pumped into them.
Now, Barra, it's time for this.
Saddle up your camel. It's time for the Thirsty Camel mailbag.
Yes, our long-time sponsor, Thirsty Camel, thanks to them. Try the new Carlton Dry 3.5% block for $52.99 with a free stubby holder while stocks last at Thirsty Camel. Shop the way you want online and in-store. Head to the website or download the Thirsty Camel app today and look for their specials. This week, Barra, we have a $50 digital card to give away, so get your questions in to quartersandbarra at wanews.com.au. We will be announcing a winner shortly. Barra, I have some mail. This one from Ash from Applecross. Good day to you, Quarters and Barra. Good day to you, Ash. Great to have your pod back in the rotation. Well, hopefully it's number one on the rotation, Barra.
Now, you know what on the rotation, right? Yeah. Just speaking of that, just from a technical perspective, I've done some surveys.
Yes.
And apparently the peak, the time we should really talk is for 40 minutes. Because then you can buy.
That ain't happening.
These blokes are always, he's given us the wind up already, the big fella.
Our producers are saying that sounds great.
Does that sound about right? No, I reckon that's, because he, you spend 20 minutes listening. What's the average car travel? 20 minutes?
Oh, a bit longer. You can pull over in the side
mate,
of the road and listen for a bit longer.
20 minutes, you can go to bloody Yanchep in 20 minutes.
If you're engaged, can you can pull over in the side of the road.
Now, what I'm saying is when you're in the car, it's about 20 minutes. So
is
it's
it?
Two
not
bites.
Not for me.
Where are you coming from?
Oh, I've got kids to drop off at sport and I've got other things to do. No. I'm 20 minutes
George,
is a luxury.
Can you explain to him what I'm talking about? Like, so most trips would be average
well,
20 minutes.
Well, we've just wasted three.
We're adding to it now, I know. But I'm sending a message to the host of the show that around 40 minutes is actually the peak time. Actually, email in, please. What's the email address?
Quartersandbarra at wanews.com.au.
Am I right? Am I right? Please tell us. Would you like us to aim for 40 minutes, which seems to be the ultimate time? 20 minutes in the car, then you listen to the second part when you're going home. Two parts.
So Ash says,
so your hour 10 from the other day, mate.
Opening round.
Mate, we're
to get through. It's been
it
a long summer.
Bloody quarters crapping on
show.
It's been
a long summer. I want to draw your attention to an article I recently read with regards to the AFL looking at trialling new headgear at community level this year, and if eventually adopted would require all junior and senior players in metro and country football leagues to wear AFL-endorsed headgear. A concussion expert has stated he was gobsmacked at the suggestion to endorse helmets and was dismayed that they want to even try and explore this. What are your views on the possible compulsory wearing of helmets in the future? Cheers, boys, Ash from Applecross. Well, he's right. So far, and I know there's work being done on them, but so far, helmets don't alleviate concussion. And that's a fact, because the act of concussion is your brain rattling around in your head. It certainly helps when
you know, in terms of fractures and what have you. Have you researched that?
Yeah, I have.
Because I've heard that.
Extensively,
I reckon
Barra.
It's an urban myth that it doesn't help you at all.
No, it doesn't, mate.
Yeah, because less impact.
No, it's not less impact. It certainly helps you from
what,
fractures.
The helmet doesn't give you less impact.
In terms of fractures, it does, not from concussion.
Mate, it's got padding, so it's going to be less impact.
But your brain still rattles around. That's
yeah, I get that bit, but I'm saying
concussion.
It does take the edge off it in some respect.
Apparently not.
Bullshit.
Not apparently not. Research
no, mate,
suggests
I,
no.
Next show I'm coming back in our 40-minute time
slot.
You're
going to wear a helmet?
And I'm
I'd love to see you in a helmet.
Mate.
What sort of helmet would it be? Would it be a Phil Narkel style helmet?
Or a big bloody helmet. That's all
or
I
an old style bicycle helmet.
Have you seen my giant pillow?
I'll be coming in here with an old Tony Gregg SP helmet.
Mate, I'm glad you're taking it seriously. You know what's come back is as well from the rugby league being in Las Vegas. You know how they all crap on about, man, they've got no pads and they don't wear helmets and all that sort of stuff. I was staggered at, there was a new writer in New York who said, wow, this rugby league, it's like human cockfighting. Like, they were staggered at
the
level of violence.
Were there.
They were staggered at the level of violence. I mean, these are the people who love UFC, right? We do as well. But and bleeding. Apparently not much bleeding happens in the NFL.
Well, you wouldn't see it, would you?
Yeah, and helmets and all that, so you never get whacked in the gob. So they say, wow, there's a guy bleeding. And a guy tried to choke him, and no one did anything. They just accepted it. That's what this yank was saying. Mate, it was an eye-opener for them. Don't worry about that. But I'm in favour of helmets now. Okay. I reckon especially in junior footy.
It sounds like Ash might be the leading contender at the moment. High Quarters in Barra, has the AFL scheduling and broadcasting team not maximised the viewing of the broadcast audience by not playing a Sunday night twilight game during the opening round? Something is rotten in the state of Denmark. That's from Marcellus. That's a really good point. We've spoken about it already. I'm not sure about the Sunday night stuff. I just probably want to see a few more games played in the first week.
All right, now tell me about Collingwood defender Charlie Dean, mate.
I can't tell you much. You tell me.
Do you know anything about him?
Not much.
Well, I'm glad you asked because he's making his debut.
Fantastic.
In the opening round.
What can you tell me about?
2 years after being taken as a rookie, the Pies have just announced that Charlie Dean, so everyone who does fantasy footy, have a look at this bloke, joined the club after winning the Fothergill Round Mitchell Medal in the VFL in 2021. So that's Fothergill, obviously Barry Round and someone, one of the Mitchells. And he's had heaps of injuries. He's going to cover for the absence of Jeremy Howe and Nathan Kruger out of the Collingwood team.
What's wrong with Howe?
Yes. Is this a rhetorical question? Is this when you know the answer?
No, I can tell you.
You better bloody know the answer, mate. You can't ask questions when you, if you don't know the answer, all right?
1 week with a calf.
Oh, beautiful. Good comeback. And the Greater Western Sydney. Are you ready for this?
Yep.
Tell me about Harvey Thomas.
I can't tell you about Harvey Thomas, but you can.
So Greater Western Sydney will debut pick 59, Harvey Thomas, product of the Giants Academy, has just come through. Where does he play? And they've got a massive wraps on him, can play multiple roles, elite runner. Another one for you fantasy people. And Richmond has confirmed, as you've already said, Quarters, that Dustin Martin will not be playing. That is a massive blow. Massive blow. I've got a couple of messages too from people about stuff that we've been doing.
Good.
Have you got any more letters?
Yeah, one more, mate. Okay. This is a bit of fun just to finish off with here from Andrew. High Quarters in Barra. An AFL memo fell in my hands which revealed the new team songs for 2024. So here we go. This is a song for each team, Barra, and the theme for the year. Adelaide, the carnival is over. Brisbane, we've already heard it today, Viva Las Vegas. Carlton, Hurt So Good, bit of John Cougar Mellencamp there. Collingwood, King of the Mountain, the Oils. Essendon, Boogie Woogie Bugle Boy. Don't get that. Fremantle, Under Pressure, bit of Queen and Bowie.
Yeah, like it.
Geelong, I'm Still Standing, very apt. Gold Coast, I Want to Hold Your Hand. GWS, Go West. Hawthorn, Treaty, very clever. And good to see they're acting on that now. That's being hopefully cleaned up this year. Addressed. Melbourne, Horror Movie.
Horror Movie.
The summer it was.
Yeah,
bit of Skyhooks. North Melbourne, Bad to the Bone. Port Adelaide, Living on a Prayer. Richmond, What's New Pussycat. St Kilda, Money for Nothing, as you have just suggested, Barra. Sydney, Man in the Mirror. Western Bulldogs, Take on Me. Who was that? Tears for Fears? I'm not sure who that was.
Why is that?
West Coast, Tears Are Falling. Well, let's hope there's fewer tears falling this season. There you go, Barra. And that was the Thirsty Camel mailbag. And I reckon, Barra, we go with Ash from Applecross. So, Ash, well done. You're the first winner of the year. Please send your details into Quarters and Barra at wanews.com.au and we will tell you how you can get your hands on the $50 gift card that you can take to Thirsty Camel and purchase whatever you like. Barra, you got a couple of messages?
And I'm not going to be a hypocrite and say these messages. I'll save them up. It was along the themes of opening round. It's a disgrace. My team's not playing. It's stuffing up fantasy footy. You know, how does that work? You know, because that's an unfair advantage. And then the other bloke was saying, and yeah, what about like Fremantle Dockers? They have not played a game in this period of time, 18 days or something. And suddenly they run into Brisbane, who's just come and cherry ripe off fixing up Carlton at the up at the Gabba. That's going to be tough.
Haven't yet.
Well, they may not, but
you know something I don't.
It's not, but I guess what he's saying, mate, is that it's an unfair situation. One team's playing in the proper round, and the other team's not, and they're going in, you know, off training.
And when are they having their bye? Is it about round 4 or 5? I'd suggest it's a good time to have another bye, and because you get through that start of the year, and you just softens it up a bit for you. So I reckon it works in their favour.
What if they're 1-4?
Yeah, well.
At the bye. happens then?
It'll help him.
Put your sports head to. Are you talking about Fremantle?
You can reset. Oh, 1-4 at the bye. No, they're not having a bye. I'm talking about the sides that are playing an opening round are going to have a bye about four rounds in.
Okay.
So it might help them.
Did you see Justin Longmuir on radio 3RW? Mm-hmm.
I heard it, yeah.
He's going off about rumours that there's disquiet amongst the players about his future.
Yep.
And I don't know who's leaking this information, but the treasure chest thing was right, that they wanted to roll out a treasure chest.
Well, every club has a theme.
And they want to be pirates. You know, we're going to be pirates. We're going to get the treasure, you know, all that sort of thing, which some of the players didn't want. But then someone else leaked that the players were blowing up about players being allowed to have their mobile phones in the club. So they shouldn't have phones during the day while they're at work. So no mobile phones. So that's a thing, apparently. What do you think about that?
Oh, all these issues get raised at clubs. I think they're different to any other. But leaked.
That issue of not having your phone all day. What if there's a drama? I suppose you get...
Your phone. Just have your phone on you. That's fine. Turn it off when you have to. Like we all do, mate. My phone's turned off now in here. I've got my phone with me.
Well, apparently players aren't allowed to have their phones all day.
Is that a fact?
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. That's what happens. And that happens at most clubs. Like West Coast, they'll leave their phones.
It certainly happens on match day because of betting rules, but as it should.
And the other thing was about players leaving the club, senior players going to better places for food. So not wanting to eat at Coburn.
What's wrong down at the Arc?
Well, I'm not
nice little cafe down there.
I'm not bagging the cafe there, but
Players' kitchen.
I've spent more there. I've got
best amazing
client.
Player facilities.
I should get free stuff. That's how much I buy there,
mate. But down, you've been in the inner sanctum as have I.
They've
very
got the
open Fremantle.
Yeah,
very transparent, and we've seen their players' lounge, and it's a magnificent area.
Oh yeah.
So they look well looked after in there. But if they want to go out for a feed and it's not during training
senior
hours,
players
go for it.
Who've got
it's all
more
right.
money leaving. The Arc to go and have feeds at lunchtime, you know, to a proper restaurant, in other words.
Well, they don't have to be there all day.
No, I'm just saying that's what's being leaked, that there's dramas between the older players.
Okay, well, who's leaking it and is it really important? They'd be my two questions.
Well, that's the thing, mate. That sort of
I'm not sure how important it is.
Who would know that specific information?
Well, you'd have to ask that question.
I'm asking you.
Yeah, I don't know who'd know that. Well, they'd all know that.
Well, speculate, mate. Well, who would know it?
There'd be a lot of people in the club who'd
player managers, wouldn't it?
It could be, possibly.
It wouldn't be a player. It'd be a player
could
telling
possibly
someone.
Possibly be. Who are you suggesting?
A parent wouldn't leak it. It'd be a player manager. All right? So very specific.
Lots of people.
So almost a campaign against Justin Longmuir.
Is that what
you're
suggesting?
Where I'm going, mate?
Is that what you're suggesting? I saw it from the outset.
Yeah. So we'll comment on it.
Okay. Well, I am commenting on it.
What are your thoughts about that?
I don't know. I'm not privy to that. I don't know.
We're the benefit
You'd
of
have
that
to
information.
Ask them. Why don't you ask?
We will be the benefit of that information.
Why don't you ask?
Longmuir's
them?
Had to go on radio, and Ryan's interviewing him today. Ryan Daniels. He'll be asking him those questions.
Okay.
Where are these leaks coming from? Why is it happening? Why is it happening, Glenn?
Well, you have to ask the coach.
You know, on these podcasts, we talk about stuff.
We are the beneficiaries.
We create talk.
We are the beneficiaries.
We are the beneficiaries. I'm just saying that it's very peculiar. And the other question I want to ask you, will you answer this one?
I answer any question
the other
you
one
throw
you
at
didn't,
me. When I can.
You didn't buy into. But
when I can.
I should have given you an heads up. But this one you might answer. Coburn, is it a negative in some ways?
Yep.
Yeah.
It's away from the heart of Freo. Freo is their soul belongs in Freo, I guess. It's a fair way to go. Great facilities for the players, and you have to have those facilities now. They probably couldn't have those at Fremantle Oval. No, they definitely couldn't have them at Fremantle Oval. You know, but so from that point of view, it's good for the players. But in terms of connection with the fans, no.
Yeah,
it doesn't feel like a footy club.
And just the vibe. Like if as a player, like I was putting my players hat on, I would rather be in Fremantle because of all the vibe, and you get people know you, they want to... Not that you want to get free stuff, but they give you...
Seems to be going that way, though. Like, you've got Hawthorns going out to Dingley, out in the sort of southeastern suburbs of Melbourne. A lot of clubs are going out to the... Essendon's out at Tullamarine.
No, but I think you've gone the wrong way there. Because this Coburn, to me, is like what St Kilda tried to do. When they went out to... What was that? Wherever they were going to move to. And everyone said, that's fantastic. We can build this... You know, multi-million-dollar facility.
Well, the facility's still out there. That's also in the southeast. It's out where, not far from where Dingley is.
And then the club said, "This is shite. We're going back." The club said, "This is not
Seaford."
That's it. Yeah, good call. So this is not working. We're going back to our original base. I wonder if Fremantle are thinking, well, I should spend more time in Fremantle. Well, that might help them win, you know.
I think have a bit of a presence, more of a presence in Fremantle, which is something I think Simon Garlick addressed when he joined Fremantle, you know, as their CEO. I think he thought they needed to have more of a presence there. So it's a good point.
I think it's just exposure to the punters. I love Coburn. Like, great people out there, a lot of people out there, but they don't get exposed.
It's a hard balance really to strike because you need the A-grade facilities for the players. Otherwise, you're not competing with the other clubs who all have them.
Mm.
But you don't want to lose your soul either. So it's a really difficult one.
And it came home to me when I saw you at Laker having that secret meeting with Kim Hagdorn.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that time.
Secret meeting?
Well, it looked very secret.
Well, you're not allowed to have...
Well, you're at the back.
Do you have mates?
You're sitting in the back corner.
Do you have mates?
Mate, you didn't announce it. Even when I mentioned it last week, you didn't mention who you were
going with.
Why
would I mention who I'm having coffee with? Well, he's an old mate of mine. Yeah, a great,
I'm not saying
great
it's negative.
Man in the media.
I'm not having a cracky. I'm just saying you didn't say who it was.
Why would I? Did you have
well,
coffee
then it's
with
a
yesterday?
Secret, mate.
Did you have coffee with yesterday?
I don't know. Whoever I did, I would announce it on this show.
Okay.
I'm pretty sure maybe Don Pike came along to that meeting. Anyway, that's another story. What I'm saying is that Laker, the Eagles go there all the time, and they're sort of...
You're talking about the little cafe strip just off Lathlane
Park.
Yeah,
and they're treated like royalty. And it does, I reckon that sort of pays into, you know what, this is pretty good, this AFL game, young blokes getting to know people, making contacts, blah, blah, blah.
So I know you've got a vested interest in Lathlane Park, though, so you're pumping the place up.
Yeah, well, the Demons don't get quite the same reaction as
don't
the West
you?
Coast blokes in there.
What
I do.
What in your base camp tents looking up at the Taj Mahal?
That's right, mate, our 1955 grandstand.
Which is going to be knocked down soon.
Dougie the Demon, mate, are we going to keep him? Have you seen Dougie the Demon on the side?
Well, is he covered by advertising?
No, mate, he's not, mate. He's bloody part of the family.
Hang on,
advertising on Dougie the Demon?
On the...
The giant demon on the side of the grandstand.
No, I know what you're talking
about.
We're
keeping that.
There's another demon on the back of the grandstand as you're standing on the road looking at
Yeah, but he's not a real
no,
demon.
No, there's a demon that's covered by advertising.
He don't look real.
What's going on with him?
He's not that great.
Does he not deserve...
No, he's not the guy. He's not the guy.
Why does he not deserve
he's
equal
evil,
exposure?
Evil looking.
Is he?
Yeah. You know, to be serious for a second, not the ideal mascot. Did you know that?
Demon?
Yeah.
Why?
Like in, so think religiously. Like,
didn't hurt Melbourne in 2021.
Yeah. Well, I'm just telling you that, you know, in the modern world, there are groups of people that are not so au fait with the demon.
Is that right?
And very unhappy about having their sons and daughters go to a club that is the Demons.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
That's where we're heading, my friend. So
is it?
We could go back to the Red Leagues.
You going
to
chat? Oh, could you?
No, that's not a story.
Adrian Barrett just
said
Perth Football Club.
I'm saying,
wow, that's a good story.
I'm saying maybe, I'm not saying anything actually. I'm just saying that you've got to take these things into account in the modern world. And I'm the biggest hypocrite because I just spent 10 minutes extra on this 40-minute podcast.
And you told me it should be 40 minutes.
I know, mate.
You've just added 10.
You got me.
My goodness.
All right, I'll shut up.
You have been listening to Quarters and Barra. We have been brought to you by Tab Touch. Download the Tab Touch today. Chances are you're about to lose. For free and confidential support, visit gamblinghelponline.org.au. Thank you for listening. Good luck in opening round. We'll be back to run our eye over all the results on Tuesday with Quarters and Barra.